Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrne, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrne Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed.
Did you ever experience a canine encounter that left you with mixed feelings? I spent an extended period observing a dog with a strong Eastern European livestock guarding dog heritage who triggered such feelings. What little history she came with suggested she was the offspring of a small canine population imported by people seeking to create a purebred worthy of AKC status. Such a goal struck me as sufficiently paradoxical, it made me laugh. Along the line of turning sow's ears into silk purses. Or perhaps a better analogy, silk purses into sow's ears. What makes indigenous livestock guarding dogs so good at what they do is that they belong to an environmentally specific population. Successful dogs are those who can protect their flock from their predators during the long treks from their lowland to highland pastures and back again. Whether their charges are moving or at rest, regardless of the weather or how long it takes. During their travels, they meet up with, and sometimes breed with, dogs from other flocks traveling that same route, or free-roaming dogs living in the small towns and villages they travel through. There's nothing pure about their genetic heritage. It's dynamic. It constantly changes to reflect the changing conditions in which they and their herds exist. Although certain traits may persist for generation, the most important ones also separate them from the purebred dog population. Genetic diversity and the adaptability that goes with it. We live in a period of increased climate uncertainty. For sure, successful herdsmen living in the natural world are aware of these changes because their lives and livelihood depend on it. It doesn't matter what a dog looks like. All that matters is that the dog is healthy and can do the job under any and all conditions that may occur. What struck me about the livestock guarding dog I saw was that combination of intelligence, energy efficiency, and adaptability she radiated. She also exhibited a quality increasingly absent in the purebred companion dog population, a reserved temperament. It's one of those qualities you know, or maybe feel is a better verb, when you see or feel it. Some people refer to it as presence. But it's not just being in the moment. It's being the moment. How do you get from a dog like that to a dog who meets a fixed standard in a show ring? The standard approach apparently involves breeding livestock guarding dogs of dynamic natural breeding to purebred dogs belonging to breeds the breeder hopes ultimately will result in what they consider a new show-worthy breed. In other words, to transform a mixed breed population of dogs with a dynamic, diversified genome into a designer purebred mix that is then bred to like purebred mixes long enough until it breeds true. Then, if past practice is any indicator, you describe the new purebred dog's origins as those of the original livestock guarding dog. Dogs whose ancestors protected flocks as they traveled the rugged and hostile terrain in obscure areas with unpronounceable names. Which, I'm sorry to say, a fair number of folks living in suburbia and other first world environments probably will believe is true. That said, I would not want to be the person charged with explaining that bait-and-switch process to a hard-working herdsman tending his flock in a remote mountain valley somewhere. But getting back to the dog I saw, I'm not going to tell you what AKC breed or wannabe breed she belongs to for several reasons. First, despite a population of dogs supposedly from similar geographic origins claiming space on the AKC website, she doesn't belong to a breed. At best, she belongs to a maybe breed in progress. Just because someone wants to make her a breed doesn't mean she is. Second, thanks to that aforementioned dynamic natural genome, and who knows what purebred crosses in the works, the dog I saw is one of a kind, just like every other dog. To assume that all dogs are created equal is an iffy proposition when choosing a puppy from a long-established purebred population. To do so with dogs belonging to designer purebred populations in progress is downright foolish. Third, she lives with extraordinary people who possess the intelligence, common as well as animal sense, time, and commitment necessary to give her what she needs. Such people are few and far between. And finally, I won't tell you what wannabe breed she is because she's a product of a human-conceived and implemented purebred dog developmental process that's fundamentally, if unwittingly, flawed. It naively assumes that you can change a dog's looks without changing the dog's physiology, behavior, the kind of bonds the animal forms with other animals, including humans, and the environment. Anyone who's read the domestication studies knows that's not possible. But while show standards are relatively fixed, many of these dogs will wind up in contemporary companion dog households. Households in which the human residents rarely, if ever, behave like a flock of sheep. Households in which all kinds of novel stimuli could trigger a livestock guarding dog's predator alarm and aggression. At the same time, today's pet dog owners may demand much more of their dogs than in the past. Not only do they want their dogs to be their physical and emotional protectors, they want their dogs to intuitively know how to do this in ways that won't cause them any embarrassment or inconvenience. At this point, you might argue that this means livestock guarding dogs who made it into or even through the purebred conversion process would be an ideal pet because of their diversified, function-oriented past. Wrong. The word that comes to mind when I see these dogs is confused. Instead of being part of a group that is constantly evolving in response to the constant changes in a harsh but familiar dynamic environment around them, we have dogs caught between that and a new human-orchestrated, genetically fixed population designed to succeed in the show ring. Neither of these orientations prepares these animals for the complexities found in many pet dog environments. Perhaps the only bright light in this process is that there's a possibility that any savvy shepherds who valued their livestock guarding dogs wouldn't sell their best dogs to any would-be purebred dog creators. Instead, they'd sell the ones who lacked the right stuff to be entrusted with the safety of their herds. Ideally, this would be those relaxed dogs who were more interested in hanging out with the shepherd's kids and other people in their homes than sheep. Not the dogs who can't tell a sheep or shepherd from a wolf or other predator. But if all any prospective purchaser is interested in is the dog's looks and is willing to pay handsomely for those looks, I can't fault the shepherd who would sell any canine liability to such a buyer. Nor can I rule out the possibility that a lousy livestock guarding dog who can't tell the geriatric neighbor or her obese Pekingese from a wolf, let alone a serial killer or rapist, might appeal to frightened people living in suburbia. My encounter with a livestock guarding dog in transition left me with mixed feelings. I'm grateful I had the opportunity to meet and evaluate her and to work with her wonderful people. I'm grateful for the independent research she triggered and the thoughts that arose from it. But I'm disappointed and saddened by what this revealed about a broken, purebred creating industry.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries, and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Catova Arts, www.catova.com.